So please don't cry, 'cause in my heart I'll know I got Jesus on my side, so my soul will be alright when it comes my time to go.
...of clear digital audio, 22,500 miles above the planet. This is the Global Star Radio Network.
Genesis Communication Network, coming from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be those of Catherine Paleman, and we're going to be talking about rheumatoid arthritis and the fact that the certain elements of the rheumatoid arthritis are infectious. And, of course, Catherine had had, Dr. Paleman had actually had severe crippling rheumatoid arthritis, and certainly by treating this thing with antibiotics of various types of medication, she was able to recover. And of course, trying to let people know that there is an infectious component. Now, I remember when I was teaching over at the University of Orange Free State there in South Africa, and going to the library and reading the articles about the infectious component of rheumatoid arthritis, and then when I got back to the United States, why, the medical journals here really didn't talk at all about it. But this has been known, well, that was, what, 1974, 1975? We're talking about well over 30 years ago. Dr. Paleman, thank you very much for being with us. Am I pronouncing your name correctly?
You are, Dr. Stan, and it's a pleasure to be with you again.
Well, it's good to have you. And so why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself? Certainly, you've been a researcher, and then, of course, you got your Ph.D., and you would spend most of your time now researching, but tell our listeners about how you became aware of the infectious component to rheumatoid arthritis.
Well, up to the time when I fell down a flight of stairs and seriously injured my ankles, I really wasn't much aware of health matters at all. I wasn't eating right. I wasn't exercising right. I knew virtually nothing and followed my doctor's orders obediently. I had been a mathematician, a systems engineer, and a research scientist for all of my career, and my injuries to my ankles developed into, surprisingly, rheumatoid arthritis. And when the doctor said, well, there's nothing we can do, it's just going to get worse, and there's no cure, it immediately raised a red flag. I thought, well, if there's a cure out there, as a researcher, I'm going to find it. With the help of my good husband, Carl, we came at it kind of stereo and hit the books and talked to people and found some very exciting findings from the 1940s done by Dr. Thomas McPherson Brown. He discovered the link between rheumatic illness and bacterial infection. He also found that the tetracycline family of antibiotics was specific to that colony of bacteria. And as soon as that light dawned, I asked my general practitioner for a prescription for the tetracycline. He was kind of dubious, but he wrote it. And within 2 weeks, I had such remarkable improvement. Even he was dazzled and amazed. And I'm now in full remission. It took me 8 months. But the treatment is a very low dose of tetracycline over a long period of time. Coupled with that, I got my immune system back on track with very benign means: diet, exercise, supplements, especially vitamin C, and now I'm dancing.
Well, of course, the thing is that This is a terrible, terrible disease.
Oh,
now,
yes.
What percentage of rheumatoid arthritis do you think it was infectious? I mean, it would be half, two-thirds, a third? What percentage?
Oh, gosh. Well, there's over 100 different kinds of arthritis.
Right.
And usually osteoarthritis or rheumatoid arthritis. And there's, maybe 3 to 5 million sufferers in the United States who are just taking painkillers. Could you rephrase that question a little bit?
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll ask the question in just a moment. But right now we're going to have to bring in some other stations on board, and we're going to have to lose a few of our stations for 3 minutes. So we'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Catherine Pailman, and we'll be talking about the infectious component to rheumatoid arthritis, which most physicians don't recognize.
The Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies. And cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
The disciples asked Jesus in Matthew 24, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, disease, and earthquakes in many places." We are living in this time of Earth's history. Many people are trying to understand the climactic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. 2 Peter says, "We have a more sure word of prophecy, and you do well if you take heed. But first know this, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." The Bible says, "We'd like you to receive this new offer, Packet B, The Unholy Alliance. These materials document the global leaders, political and religious, behind the scenes. You will receive information regarding America in prophecy, tyrants and wars, the New World Order, and much more. As always, these materials are shipped to you at no charge. Please call 1-888-211-1715. That's 1-888-211-1715. And ask for Packet B."
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is Dr. Catherine Pailman. We're talking about her experience, certainly, and I was simply asking her, what percentage of the rheumatoid arthritis do you honestly believe is related directly to infection, and what percentage might be related to some other cause? Or do you believe that the majority is related to infection?
That's what Dr. Thomas McPherson Brown found, that there is a direct relationship between rheumatic illness, of which rheumatoid arthritis is one of many, to bacterial infection. So I'm firmly convinced that that's the root cause of it. Through the course of my research, I found that there are perhaps 60 other autoimmune or so-called autoimmune diseases like fibromyalgia, MS, Sjogren's syndrome, Raynaud's syndrome, Hashimoto's thyroiditis, a whole list that are attributable to bacterial and or viral infection.
Well, now, what about the mycoplasma? When you refer to bacterial, are you referring to a mycoplasma?
That is correct. That is the specific organism that is responsible. We have billions of mycoplasma that are benign circulating around in our bodies, but if our immune systems are low and we have some toxins in our bodies, bacterial elements, they can commandeer these mycoplasmas and turn them into a bacterial colony, sometimes more than our normal immune system can deal with, and that's why we need the tetracycline antibiotics to help us over that crisis until our immune system can take over, and then we can wean ourselves away from the antibiotics.
And, of course, this is what you did. You got yourself onto a long-term antibiotic, a tetracycline type. Did you use tetracycline or doxycycline, or what did you use?
I used oxytetracycline and then doxycycline. But there's minocycline, which is actually recommended and which I talk about in my book. I had Dr. Joseph Mercola, who is a D.O., which medical doctor. I am just a lowly PhD, but Dr. Mercola has an appendix that he wrote for me that tells about minocycline as the best. But some people can't tolerate that for a variety of reasons, and they go on the doxycycline. It's interesting that recent research has found that doxy is suitable for help with osteoarthritis as well as rheumatoid arthritis.
Well, doxycycline is a very inexpensive and certainly a very benign antibiotic. The thing is that there's so much information coming out saying, oh, we're using too many antibiotics. You shouldn't be using antibiotics. This is why we have drug resistance. And yet these antibiotics really are miraculous. They truly are medical drugs. And if you use your doxycycline, you know, right along with certainly probiotic, other things to maintain your bacterial flora, and certainly there's regular write ups on what you do when you're using long-term antibiotics, you're not going to get in any trouble with them. They truly are miracle drugs. So
you're absolutely right, Dr. Stan. It's unfortunate the doctors fail to mention more often than not that you need to balance out the tetracycline or any antibiotic with a probiotic supplement to replenish the good bacteria in your gut that are essential for digestion. And if you don't do that, you risk the overgrowth of yeast in your gut, and that leads to candida infections and a whole plethora of other symptoms that are equally unpleasant. Certainly not as crippling as rheumatoid arthritis, but very disruptive to your system.
And, of course, one of the reasons for the resistance to antibiotics is the AIDS epidemic and the irresponsible actions of many people who have AIDS who will not fully treat their diseases, and then they become, of course, certainly factories for developing these antibiotic-resistant diseases.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Nobody ever wants to talk about that. Oh, my goodness, that would be terrible. It's not politically correct, and yet that is where so many of our antibiotic-resistant diseases have come from, are people with an altered immune system who then simply are factories for these new and terrible diseases that are plaguing us. Well, Dr. Pohlman, you say you were under treatment for about 9 months, and then, of course, you've been fairly good ever since then?
Fairly good. As long as I keep my immune system on track, I'm fine. But you have to accept the fact that you can't totally eliminate these bad bacteria from your system. All you can do is keep them under control, and then your normal immune system will deal with them. As soon as you drop your guard, that balance is lost. The bacteria will recolonize and flourish, and you've got the problem again. And usually that happens with some kind of trauma, and that can be psychological, emotional, physical. I tell people that have just had an auto accident and are diagnosed with arthritis, that it's that physical stress that has diverted their immune system to take care of that. And while the immune system is busy, these mycoplasma colonies reassert themselves and come out to play. Bitter divorce, loss of a loved one, losing a job, any number of things that are stress-related can upset your immune system balance.
Now, you know, when I was practicing medicine, I would see a lot of people with whiplash injuries to her neck, you know, driving their car, gets hit from the behind. They get a whiplash. Then they got all this ache and pain, but then they'll have associated with that chronic fatigue syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have associated with it fibromyalgia. And, of course, the first inclination, you know, as a practicing physician is these people are putting this thing on so they're going to get a bigger settlement. They look miserable. They act miserable. They've always been responsible people. But how could you ever get chronic fatigue syndrome or fibromyalgia from a rear-end collision? Well, of course, what happens is it's the trauma that upsets the immune system, and then the mycoplasm begins to take over, and these people become disabled. They had the mycoplasm before. It was there, it was latent, it was under control, and then when something came along that broke down the resistance, as the accident would, and the emotional strain and stress from that, then, of course, the mycoplasm begins to grow and prosper and totally incapacitates them. It took me a long time to begin to understand these things, and I fear that there are an awful lot of good doctors out there, good orthopedists, who find this hard to believe, and yet the reality is we got an awful lot of people who are disabled by the whiplash, not because of the trauma of the whiplash, but because of the emotional stress and the flaring up of the chronic infection that has been there. So have you run into this sort of thing as well?
Absolutely. You just gave a wonderful summary. And I can't say that as well in my health lectures that I give around town. You did a wonderful job. Stress can be a trigger, and stress of all kinds can bring those mycoplasmas out. You don't even know you had them. Sometimes you could, they're left over from childhood illness. If you've had bronchitis or strep throat or walking pneumonia, as I did when I was a child, I didn't realize that those bacterial remnants were resident in my joints. And so when I hurt myself falling down the stairs, those things were activated like frogs in the desert after a rainstorm. And suddenly, I had rheumatoid arthritis. And this was a chapter in my book I called Souvenirs of Childhood Illness. It's much like shingles that come out, and that's kind of a remnant of chicken pox way back when. And it just never leaves your body. By the time you get to be about 40 years old, you are just a swimming soup of bacteria and viral elements that are just waiting to pounce on you. That's kind of scary. But if you keep your immune system up, you don't have to worry about that. It'll take care of it.
All right. Now, how do you keep your immune system up other than with the antibiotics? The antibiotics will get you to the point where you're feeling pretty well, but after a certain point, you don't want to take the antibiotics. So what do you do to get your immune system up? Because that is the key.
That is the key. And half of my book is about how infection works, how your immune system works, and the other half is how to get your immune system back on track. And let me just say, my book is called Rheumatoid Arthritis, The Infection Connection, and it's described fully on my website, ra-infection-connection.com. And on there you will find a lot of health articles that will give you some practical, rock-solid hints about getting your immune system in shape.
And of course,
diet
we actually carry.
Of course, we all know this, even though we don't always practice. Diet and exercise are really important. It's kind of hard to find non-processed foods that we enjoy, but you really have to make an effort. Reading labels is very important. Keep the sugar out of your diet. Watch the caffeine and the alcohol. Be a conscientious label reader and eat healthy.
Well, there really are so many toxins, and you have to know what they are, and they will hide this like natural flavoring. You know, you know, they'll and of course these are the covers that they use for MSG and the amount of sodium glutamate, which really is a toxin, the last thing you want to be taking. But they'll, you know, we certainly have to understand that they will certainly put in the descriptions, and they'll change the name so you won't be able to pick it out. You've got to learn how to read the labels. And certainly I think that Dr. Palmer will agree that the key is good, adequate diet and avoiding all the chemicals and toxins that are in our environment that are really totally destructive to our immune system. So the rheumatoid arthritis, the infection connection, it's available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. Dr. Bowman is just sending us a shipment of those. Hopefully they're going to arrive one of these days. But anyway, of course, with the holiday season, they've probably been held up. Anyway, we think it's important. We think that many people will be helped by, of course, treating their chronic infections. We'll be right back.
The United States seems to be celebrating over its triumph of reducing government debt. But the truth be told, public and private debt increased to a record high in 1999, reaching a $13.8 trillion, marking 10.57% annual increase, outpacing its previous 10 years. The U.S. economy receives its currency by taking on debt through private banking institution called the Federal Reserve System. In the year 2000, debt growth collapsed to only 4.5%. It's bad enough that the U.S. citizens is bound by debt in order to have commerce. However, shocking the economy with a reduction of this magnitude could wipe out years of growth in a stock portfolio. Before you make your next investment decision, get the cold hard facts. Call 1-800-686-2237 for your free report on the outstanding level of public and private debt. You must understand how recession and depression are driven by outstanding debt. Call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Introducing the most efficient gravity filter available. You know, if you were to throw 100 ball bearings at a magnet, most would bounce off. But if you placed them on the magnet, all would stick. The same principle applies in water filtration. Most filtration systems force water through the filter at 60 to 90 PSI, causing water molecules to race through the filter in less than a second. The Berkey Light is different. Water molecules take 5 to 10 minutes to pass through the torturous path of the self-sterilizing filters. This allows the proprietary media formulation to remove and reduce pathogenic bacteria, cysts, chemicals, herbicides, pesticides, organic solvents, foul tastes, odors, heavy metals, and nitrates. It is so powerful it purifies raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds.
Get the advanced Berkey Light purifier for only $279 by calling New Millennium 888-803-4438 or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes scholarships, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
This is Elizabeth Border, author of the two books set, America Attacked and Chaos and Chemtrails. I wrote these books because I believe that every American should have the vital chemtrails research info. I was much heartened and encouraged when a radio listener recently wrote me, quote, "You are truly a great writer, so clear and powerful and thorough in your communication. You have the strength to forge ahead in the midst of darkness, and you also believe in the power of goodness and truth. I hope you listeners will order these crucial books. Send your check for $32 post-pay to Radio Liberty, P.O. Box 969, Soquel, S-O-Q-U-E-L, California, 95073. $32 to Radio Liberty, Box 969, Soquel, California, 95073. Or call 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927.
Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. And, of course, our guest is Dr. Catherine Pailman, and we're talking about rheumatoid arthritis, her book, Rheumatoid Arthritis, the Infection Connection, and certainly the importance of getting your immune system built up so your body can take care of these chronic infections, but you're latent in them. I'll never forget when I went to medical school, we never talked about mycoplasma. And I went off to South Africa and taught there from 73 to 77. By the time I got back, 1978, 1979, where they were beginning to talk about mycoplasma infections, we talked always about atypical pneumonia, a form of pneumonia people would have. And we called it atypical because it wasn't like other pneumonias. Well, suddenly they found out that this is about a 25% of pneumonias, and they were related to the mycoplasma. And then, of course, we found out that the flu, about 25% of the people who have influenza, and they think they have flu. This is mycoplasma infections. In fact, mycoplasma infections were definitely connected to chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia and many of these other chronic disabling diseases that really do plague our society. And suddenly we're finding all about this. Well, of course, it was then about in the 1991 period, the Gulf War Syndrome comes along, and we find that this is an important part of the Gulf War Syndrome. Not only that, but when AIDS came along, mycoplasma was a cofactor along with HIV. Most doctors don't know that, but almost every patient who has AIDS has a chronic mycoplasma infection, and you can clear that up. They can have the HIV, but they won't be ill from their AIDS. And you can influence the course of AIDS with proper diet, but doctors don't know that. All they're going to do is give the expensive medications because nobody's telling them, and you out there in the audience need to learn this. And if you know people with these chronic infections, you need to have them get the information. Do you cover anything at all about chronic mycoplasma and the relationship to AIDS, the other diseases in your book, Dr. Pailman?
Oh, yes, I do. There's a separate section about that. And I'm glad, Dr. Stan, that you brought out the testing. There's a whole chapter on diagnostic tests. But typically, people go in and they make a complaint about chronic fatigue or whatever, and the doctor will just prescribe medication. And unless they know what to look for, or the patient really insists, I want a PCR test or a CRP or, one of the specialty tests for mycoplasma infection, the doctors aren't going to even think about it because, as you say, they haven't been schooled in this. We were talking about the immune system before, and if you do have immune system problems, you have to be wary of flu shots. Carl and I made the mistake, that's my husband, Carl and I had flu shots last year, and that triggered some latent infection that we had, and we had the worst colds of our lives. I'll never take another flu shot. I'll depend on increased vitamin C and zinc and other practical precautions, which I guess I'd like to discuss with you.
Sure.
Now that the cold and flu season is here, things that your listeners might be interested in, little habits that they might adopt to protect their immune systems while we make their rounds.
Go right ahead.
Okay?
Sure.
I usually tell people to wash their hands often because we're surrounded by crowds of people in the holiday shopping times, and that Christmas is over, but there are still crowds out there. They're returning their gifts or they're getting out there in the markets shopping for New Year's supplies, and whether they're sick or not, they're out there. They're in the office. They're at church. They're in the airport coughing and sneezing. Airplanes are very dangerous places. And you get a little bottle of that hand sanitizer. that doesn't need water, and just keep it handy, and a supply of paper towels with you. And whenever you have touched an escalator railing or a shopping cart handle at the market, even pushing the doors in and out, wash your hands often, and it will cut down the germ population that you might transfer to your body enormously. Very high-risk areas wherever there are crowds. Remember that guy they busted for traveling to and from Mexico 76 times, and he was carrying contagious TB?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
We read about that, a month or so ago? Oh, my gosh. How did they know it was exactly 76 times? How come they didn't catch him after 3 times? Oh, my goodness. So you're in the soup there with some very contagious and germy people.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. If you have a question or comment on this, give us a call. And that's 1-800-259-5791. We'll be back here in just a moment at Genesis Radio Network.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, 2 Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of 2 Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Since the year 2000, earthquakes, heat waves, droughts, tsunamis, floods, fires, and hurricanes have killed over 1 million people worldwide and forced tens of millions to go without food and water. After Katrina, the media was eager to show victims in New Orleans begging for food. If a disaster strikes you and your loved ones and you have no stored food, you'll be begging as well. Now our economy is slipping into an abyss that even Donald Trump says will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. The U.S. dollar is worth less today than it was even last week. Before food prices skyrocket, trucks stop running and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real butter, cheese, and bread, real beef, chicken, and turkey, all canned for long-term storage. For their website and more info, call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. And remember, if you wait until you need us, it's too late. Call now.
If your body isn't feeling too well these days, you're gonna start taking this hemp, I say. Go to hempusa.org. You may not like what I'm about to say, but you know I'm gonna say it anyway. The government doesn't want the best for you. They keep you down, they keep you blue. They starve your body for all its nutrients. They won't let you grow industrial hemp. It really doesn't make any kind of sense when it's so healthy for the world and useful for you, my friends. I hope Mr. Bush will hear this song, for the heart of America wants this one. Go to hempusa.org. If you're a truther, an anarchist, or renegade, you only want things that God has made. Go to hempusa.org. We offer free shipping anywhere in the States. Go to hempusa.org.
Well, Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Dr. Catherine Hailman. Our telephone number, 800-259-5791. If you have a question or comment, now her book is titled Rheumatoid Arthritis, the Infection Connection. She really gives the whole background, because this has certainly been known to doctors, for probably 30 or 40 years or more. And yet, of course, the average physician, the average rheumatologist has never heard of this. Why? Because the drug companies don't want them. They want the doctors to be prescribing all the expensive medications on a regular basis for the rest of the patient's life, as they certainly become aggressively more crippled. And you say, why would that be? Well, I hate to say it, but sometimes the bottom line is much more desired than the patients getting better. And not from the doctor's point of view. Please don't think I'm criticizing doctors. I love them. I've worked with them. I think most of them are well-motivated. But they need to get the information you're going to hear on a program like Radio Liberty. And you need to get educated and then educate them and provide them with the documentation. Now, Dr. Pailman, as far as why don't you give us the history of the knowledge of the fact that there wasn't a relation between chronic infection and rheumatoid disease? How long ago was that discovered?
Well, Dr. Brown, working with Dr. Sabin of polio vaccine fame, he was dean of medicine at George Washington University, and he and his lab manager, the late Dr. Harold Clark, bless his heart, he wrote the foreword to my book. They discovered this in 1949, this relationship of mycoplasma infection and to bacterial infection and the incredible benefit of tetracycline antibiotics.
You're talking about 58 years ago then.
Uh-huh. And they announced this in 1949 to this annual convention of rheumatologists, hundreds of doctors there. But unfortunately, that was the year when cortisone was announced. And now everybody had this magic bullet, and cortisone was the answer. And they said, thank you very much, Dr. Brown, that's interesting, but we have cortisone now, and please get lost. And he valiantly published and did testing and tried to get his papers published for the next 20 years. He and Henry Scammell finally wrote a book in 1988 called The Road Back, and it means The Road Back to Health. And they described Dr. Brown's work in great detail, and this is a classic book. It's wonderful. Henry Scammell in 1998 reissued the book called The New Arthritis Breakthrough, but we know now it's not new. It was from 1949, rephrased with all the new test results, big studies, minocycline in rheumatoid arthritis, MIRA, that big, big study showing very positive results with minocycline in 1998. Still not accepted. And I use this example with my radio audience, my health lecture audiences. I say, well, it took about 50 years for surgeons to finally come around to accept that washing your hands before performing an operation was a good idea. So it may take a little longer for the medical establishment to accept that there is benefit in using tetracycline to combat mycoplasma infections.
And, of course, if you've ever looked inside an arthritic joint, as I did, you know, with arthroscopes when I was practicing medicine, and you see this pannus, this almost granulation tissue growing out over the surface and just destroying the articular surface, and just the agony that these people had and the stiffness and the disability, and to think that so much of this is reversible. And quite frankly, I mean, I pretty much put aside what I'd learned in South Africa about the infection connection, because after all, everybody here said it really wasn't a factor. I talked to the other rheumatologists, brilliant people. I mean, they're well-trained at the finest universities, and they sort of poo-pooed these ideas. So how easy it was for me to go along, and it really wasn't until I left organized medicine, began reading and studying and talked to people like Dr. Pailman, I began to realize the very real relationship between chronic infection and the autoimmune complex diseases. Well, our telephone number is 800-259-5791. If you have a question out there, but there is a myriad of autoimmune diseases, and it can involve almost any disease, any organ system in our body. And, of course, so many of these will respond to getting the immune system working again. What do you do in the way of nutrition and diet to help your immune system, Dr. Pailman?
Well, Well, if you can eat the freshest fruits and vegetables that you can find, avoid processed foods, certainly avoid sugars, and if you are taking statin drugs, for example, they can cause muscle pain and weakness, and if you are in pain and you can't exercise, that's going to do you a disservice. It's kind of a catch-22. You want to take the drugs and feel better and not be able to exercise, although you need to exercise and can't. It's really very frustrating. On these cold days, we're indoors, and we kind of curl up with a book, and we're very sedentary, maybe cook up a cup of hot chocolate and loaded with sugar. This is the worst thing we can do. We have to move around and exercise. Our bodies are made, created to be moving.
And of course, sugar really reduces your body's ability to fight infection. I mean, certainly, you know, I know very well if I have a bad cold and I take a lot of sweets, my cold gets worse. And if I avoid the sweets, my cold gets better. And this has been known for a long period of time. Sugar suppresses the immune system. And it's a terrible thing for us. We should not be using it. And yet, of course, we are encouraged to use it from every point of view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, spices that you can use in cooking. Garlic is a wonderful natural antibiotic. And using garlic in cooking, you know, the French are pretty healthy people. And, you know, studies have shown that garlic reduces cholesterol, reduces the risk of heart disease. But you have to be aware, garlic can interfere with blood clotting. So if you're taking a clot inhibitor like warfarin or Coumadin or some of those blood-related drugs, you have to be very careful with garlic. And I always tell people, discuss these supplements that you're taking with your doctor. Don't be afraid that he might say, oh, you know, I'm prescribing this and you're doing something untoward, and he might scold you. He or she needs to know exactly what you're putting in your body. So discuss this very honestly with them.
Well, we carry actually something here at Radio Liberty called Alibiotic, and it's a combination of garlic and echinacea, and I forgot what the other three things are in
great.
There. But it's really by Alibiotic, they're all they're herbs or various spices, things of that sort, and they really do help. I know when I start to get a cold, I'll take my Alibiotic and vitamin C and vitamin D, and it'll just quiet those symptoms right on down, because, of course, I can't afford to get sick because I do 5 hours of talk radio a day. So, you know, if you're interested in this, it's something that is available from Radio Liberty. It's put out by, I can't tell you drug house we get our products from, but I will tell you that the Radio or RL products, that stands for Radio Liberty products, are actually prepared by probably the largest single drug providing or house. And they're not drugs, but I should say, having to do with nutritional supplements, I would call that company in the United States, and we're very proud to be associated with them. They're a Christian country, but we can't tell you the name because, we're just prevented from doing it, but you'll just have to trust me. And they put out the Alibiotic, and we think it's a great product.
Sounds wonderful.
Again, our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. In fact, we have a whole line of the various things that you need to have, and certainly you need to be taking large doses of vitamin C, because we did a program with Dr. Pailman's husband last night pointing out that human beings cannot produce ascorbic acid. Now, every other animal can, other than, I think it's fruit bats and guinea pigs and human beings. We just lost the ability, genetic ability, to create our own vitamin C. We get a little of it out of certainly our citrus fruits and the food we eat, but not enough to have any real benefit. You may not get scurvy, but you're going to have to eat an awful lot of citrus fruit before you really get the levels of vitamin C that you need. And that's why when you're starting to get a cold, why you want to have those 500 milligram vitamin C's on hand, and make sure that it is in a form that is readily absorbable because there are all sorts of vitamin C and ascorbic acid products out there. And which ones do you take?
Well, I like goji berry, G-O-J-I. And I take the concentrated juice and I mix that up with water. And I have a table, which I'm going to send to you, Dr. Stan, that shows the amount of vitamin C in milligrams per 100 grams of fruit. And you will be surprised to see that a plant source such as orange or lemon is about 50 milligrams per 100 grams of fruit, and the goji berry is 2,500 milligrams. Rose hips, if you buy the 500 milligrams vitamin C, get it with rose hips. Rose hip has 2,000 milligrams. So those are extra little boosts that the vitamin C will give. It's kind of a misconception that if you have orange juice every day, that's going to be your vitamin C. That's low on the totem pole, 50 versus 2,000.
Sure, and you really do need a fair amount of vitamin C to really have it help you.
Mm-hmm.
Our telephone number, right? Our
in
telephone,
grams, not milligrams.
Right. Our telephone number again is 800-259-5791. If you have a question or comment, but let me suggest to you the book written by our guest this afternoon, Dr. Catherine Pailman. It's entitled Rheumatoid Arthritis, The Infection Connection. We've carried it in the past. We're getting a new supply in. We think it's important. And we think that what is really important is the message, you've got to keep your immune system up and functioning and don't let it get run down. And what excellent way to get it run down is just to eat a lot of sugar and certainly not exercise and not get the sunlight. And these things are all essential for good health. Anyway, of course, there are a lot of other supplements that we think are well worthwhile taking, and we talk about that in our health catalog. Well, Dr. Pailman, certainly as far as your opportunity to reach people is concerned, have you had people come to you and tell you how they, too, have been able to get over the rheumatoid arthritis by taking antibiotics?
I have had such wonderful response to my book and to the articles on my website. I've had emails from all over the world, and it just makes my day when somebody will say, you know, I convinced my doctor to help me with the tetracycline, and I'm just, it's a miracle, you know. But I must hasten to say, one size does not fit all. Before you embark on a tetracycline program, take a hard look at your lifestyle. It could be that you have some allergy that is masking, you know, providing symptoms of arthritis, and once you get hold of the allergy and remove the allergen from your diet or your lifestyle, you won't have those allergy symptoms, the arthritis symptoms. For example, you could have an allergy to dust mites in your house, and that could cause you asthma and sneezing and all that, but it could also cause joint pain. Food allergies can cause pains in your joints. One tip-off is that you might have a mycoplasma infection in your joints is how your joints respond in cold weather. You know how somebody will rub their elbow and say, oh, I think there's a storm coming on, my elbow's starting to hurt. This is because the mycoplasma is very sensitive to changes in barometric pressure. The same person will get on an airplane, and the change in cabin pressure will make the mycoplasma very uncomfortable. They do not like an oxygen-rich environment. So this is where exercise comes in. Exercise is oxygenating to our blood and brings oxygen to our joints, makes the bacteria very uncomfortable, and they move out. Drinking lots of water will flush them out of your system. This is another immune system enhancer exercise to oxygenate and make those bacteria uncomfortable, and water to flush them out. It also takes accrued toxins out of your body. Coffee and soda, that's not water. You had some sponsors on during the break that were talking about purified water. Get the purest water you can afford. You can also filtered tap water, not regular tap water, but filtered. introduce as much water as possible. A rule of thumb, take your body weight, divide by 2, and that's about the number of ounces of water you should be drinking per day.
All right, fine. Well, certainly, your body does need a great deal of water, and some mm-hmm. people say it's up to 8 ounce glasses of water a day. And I really believe, of course, we are all more or less dehydrated, and your body needs water, and you can drink it. Why, certainly your body will excrete it, but you need to have full hydration of your cells if they're going to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So much really goes into the proper nutrition, and I think it's so important that you have a book like Dr. Pailman's, and this is why the rheumatoid arthritis, the infection connection, is a good place to start. Well, of course, you'll find that in our health catalog. We have a health catalog where we have listed all of the books that we think are important. And you got about a minute and a half to wrap up the program, Dr. Pailman. What's the final message you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Oh, boy. I could just go on forever, but I love to help people. My efforts are totally nonprofit, as yours probably are too, Dr. Stan. And I really appreciate your having me on board. I'd like to recommend one more book, and that's Dr. Atkins' Vitanutrient Solution. It tells you a lot about the supplements you can take and the limits on those supplements so that they don't do you any harm. The benefits of vinegar are really quite good. Let me give you the website one more time.
Oh, go ahead.
ra-infection-connection.com. And I wish you and everybody listening a very happy new year.
All right. God bless you. Thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you, Doctor.
All right. Our guest has been Dr. Catherine Pailman. We've had Dr. Pailman with us before. She has her PhD, but she's really written a fascinating book, which has a lot of very good points in it. There is so much new nutrition. Those of you who certainly haven't actually seen the videos our good friend Dr. Lorraine Day puts out, we've really got to carry a workbook here. There's so much we should carry, certainly our book by our good friend Dr. Russell Blaylock, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. His book on natural strategies for cancer patients or excitotoxins. What you need to do is call us at 1-800-544-8927. And get our health catalog and get the material.
Terrorist cells are prime terror targets located near you. Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfalls, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much, much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution, full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis that you need. Get this hard-to-find information by ordering Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping and handling by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
How would you like to have a tool to use at home that you can use anytime that helps reduce back pain, sciatica, hip pain, and more? A tool that helps relieve the pain and doesn't just treat the symptoms. You need the sacrowegisacral stabilizer. One satisfied user states, I don't believe in gadgets, but this is a miracle. Yes, that's right. Just relax 20 minutes daily or when needed to help correct the muscle imbalance that creates many of these symptoms. Gravity does the work with the sacrowedgie under the sacrum and support under your neck. Help correct posture to help relieve the pain. Better balance equals fewer problems. You can even sit on the sacrowedgie at the computer or while traveling. This device has been helping people for the past 15 years, yet the cost is still just $29.95. Finally, something available that really relieves those stubborn aches and pains.
Order your sacrowedgie now and get a free instructional DVD. Just call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Or visit sacrowedgie.com. That's sacrowedgy.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and there's really so much information out there that you need to know about what's going on. I certainly let me suggest to you Dr. Russell Blaylock's book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. That's sort of a standard in our home. Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life by Dr. Russell Blaylock. His second book, Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients. And if you know somebody who's got cancer and they're going to go through conventional chemotherapy or radiation, they certainly want to read this book. Then, of course, you need to get the other book, third book, that we carry of Dr. Blaylock's, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills, that points to both MSG and aspartame, NutraSweet, are terribly toxic, and you should not be using them at all. Then, of course, we have the book, The Miracle of Magnesium, because magnesium is really such an important element, and we do carry magnesium. Most people are magnesium deficient, and so you need magnesium to balance out your diet. And then, of course, there's so many other things that we carry in the way of books that will give you an understanding of proper nutrition. So what you really want to do, of course, would be to get our health catalog, and you'll find listed there Dr. Pailman's book, The Rheumatoid Connection, or Rheumatoid Arthritis, The Infection Connection, I guess is the exact title. Rheumatoid Arthritis, The Infection Connection. And then we carry all sorts of health products, and of course, all of them, funds coming. We don't make anything ourselves. We all the products go in to help finance Radio Liberty, but we've got a lot of people out there that are taking health products, and they're good products. You can buy them at your local health food store, many times by exactly the same company that puts them up for us. But we can't tell you what company that is. But if you look at our RL products, you probably will be able to guess. But let me suggest that Alibiotic. You need to get high-dose vitamin D. I mean, vitamin D is so vitally important for cancer. It really does help prevent infections, colds. One reason we see the influenza is in the wintertime is because we don't have the sunshine. And sunshine produces vitamin D, which helps us fight infections. So both vitamin D and vitamin D are vitally important. And you need to learn all of these things. You need to learn about IP6 or rice bran. Why? Because it actually helps you suppress iron absorption. Now, you don't want to take your vitamin C with your meals because it'll increase iron and calcium absorption. And these are deleterious to you. I mean, certainly there's nothing wrong with taking vitamin D, but don't take it with your meals. You take it quite a while before, quite a while after your meals. But you don't want to be absorbing a lot of iron because, that contributes to cancer, all sorts of other problems. And the same thing with calcium because that deposits in your arteries. So IP6 helps you get rid of the heavy metals and not to absorb them from your system. And certainly if you get our catalog, you'll begin to learn all of these things. You'll begin thinking from the point of view of how you're going to preserve your health. We carry 5 of Dr. Lorraine Day's videos. We think they're important. Talks to you about nutrition and certainly how to avoid disease by proper nutrition. and the things that we shouldn't be eating. And certainly we know that there's a definite relationship between, for instance, milk and milk products and cancer of the breast and cancer of the prostate. And the incidence of these go up dramatically when you're eating a lot of dairy products. But you're not going to hear about that because the dairy industry has a tremendous impact upon our mass media. They carry their advertisements, but even more than that, there's some people out there who believe there are too many people and we ought to get rid of them. If you have not yet heard our 4-tape set on the New Order of the Barbarians, let me suggest that you get that. That's the New Order of the Barbarians. And of course, you get that along with the transcript. Understand there really are people out there who believe there are too many people in the world and we'd be better off without so many. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up today's program.
Give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you give him a Berkey system, you give him the ability to obtain purified water for a lifetime. This year, when giving Christmas gifts, instead of unwanted trinkets, give a meaningful and substantial gift. Berkey systems are ideal for every member of your family, especially the young ones in college. Unlike other water filtration systems, Berkey purifiers are portable. They require no plumbing, and the elements don't have to be replaced every 4 to 6 months. Perfect for anyone on a tight budget. And more importantly, if there's an unexpected emergency, your loved ones will be prepared. That's because Berkey systems are able to purify raw, untreated water. Check out our Christmas specials at BerkeyWater.com. With one of our quantity specials, you not only get a discount, but in one stop, you can get gifts for the entire family. That's BerkeyWater.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for this next hour, the views of Jim Corey, who works for a Cops magazine. It's a publication that goes to organization of police chiefs across America, and Jim works with this organization of police chiefs. But today we were going to be talking specifically about the RFID chips that are being utilized. Certainly they're being put into products. Other efforts to put them into human beings. They're being put into animals or attached to animals. This is a means of tracking people. And there are many of us, of course, who are very, very concerned that they're making up databases on all American citizens. And with the RFID chips, whether they would be in the elderly, in the Alzheimer's patients, or in the newborn children, or in the general people, why, of course, this would be a more efficient means of tracking them. And why, simply by sometime next year, why literally every farm animal is going to have an RFID chip. If that farm animal, a chicken, is moved from one yard to another, they're going to have to be reported to the federal government. And what they're really going to do is put the small farmer out of business. And of course, the question is, why are they doing these things? They really don't make sense. Jim, thank you so very much for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you for having me, Doctor.
Well, why don't you tell us how you got interested in RFID chipping?
Well, actually, it was my editor at newswithviews.com, which they have a number of people. In fact, you write for them.
Yes, I do.
a lot of other medical people have written for them. And the editor asked me if I would start investigating the use of these RFID chips, especially by a company known as Verichip, and the government plans to insert these chips surgically into human beings, starting off with, you mentioned Alzheimer's patients, starting off with newborns, usually people who cannot or are not capable of making decisions themselves. And the idea is supposedly that it will help medical professionals during the process of intake at a hospital look at a person's medical history by means of these chips. Now, that sounds a bit very benevolent. It sounds very harmless. The problem is that we don't know what information is contained in those chips. I'm talking about us, the American people. We don't know what they're surgically implanting in us. We know that the capability is there to monitor somebody using a GPS chip, which is very similar. You wouldn't know if the government is keeping tabs on you, for example. And I think that from a law enforcement perspective, law enforcement executives and law enforcement officers are...
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Certainly our guest this afternoon is Jim Curry, who works for an organization of police chiefs. They call it COPS. They put out a magazine. But Jim had recently written an article that actually addressed the issue of the RFID chips. And actually, Jim, since we brought some new stations on board, would you tell our listeners why there is concern about this? And don't be afraid to be repetitive. I think it's such an important issue.
Well, sure. You know, as I said, you know, these chips are being, they're planning to implant these chips. Some of them have been implanted in Alzheimer's patients. Some have been implanted and newborns. These are American citizens who really can't make a decision about surgery, and that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about surgically implanting these chips into a human being. Supposedly, the reasons for it are benevolent, so that doctors and nurses and healthcare professionals will have access to information during intake of a patient into a hospital or emergency room. It sounds harmless, but then when you really look at the fact that we have the capability to also monitor these chips, or actually monitor a human being going from one place to another using GPS that also use these types of chips, I think that it's a very bad precedent for this country to enter into. I think that a lot of law enforcement people are wondering how come we are prevented from entering a person's home, and rightfully so, because we have a Fourth Amendment, and yet the government can implant this chip into a human being and actually monitor that human being.
And I certainly share your concern, and I think everybody should be concerned about that. And so, you know, because we really need to understand that the government is collecting dossiers on all citizens. That is not their function. They tell us, oh, we're trying to protect you from the terrorists, but are we really trying to protect us from the terrorists when they leave our southern borders open? They absolutely refuse to close the southern border if they're really worried about, you know, about the possibility of terrorist attacks on the United States. The first thing they would have done would be to have closed our southern borders, and if there's really a tremendous terrorist threat, Why haven't there been any more attacks in America? We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Jim Khoury, and of course Jim is on the front lines of this battle. Did you work in the police force during your professional career, Jim?
Yes, in New York City.
I see.
The housing law enforcement.
All right, fine. Of course, now he works for an organization that deals with the chiefs of police across the country. Could you tell us just a little bit about the organization?
Well, the National Association of Chiefs of Police is the largest organization of American police commanders in the country. Our members work for local law enforcement, for sheriff's departments, for federal and state law enforcement. Anyone who's above the rank of sergeant and who supervises a police unit is eligible for membership. We also have many members who are now Homeland Security directors for different states. We have people in the private sector who are retired from law enforcement who are working as security directors for major corporations and major organizations. So we have about 14, I think we're approaching about 15,000 members right now. We tend to be a conservative in our views as opposed to other police organizations, which may tend to be more liberal. We do not endorse candidates, but we do speak out on issues. And if a candidate doesn't like what we're saying, well, that's just a little too bad. But we do speak out on different issues. For example, we came under attack because our president supports the citizens' right to carry concealed weapons. Most police organizations are pro-gun control. We happen to be anti-gun control. We believe it's not the government's business if I want to purchase a firearm to protect my family and my home.
Well, I think, of course, the important thing is that it is constitutional. It doesn't matter how you feel about guns. The question is it constitutional? And the Constitution guarantees the right of the people to keep and bear firearms. Now, let's get back to the whole idea of chipping, because, of course, I think this is something we should all be concerned about. And of course, have you looked at all into this whole program that they have? But sometime next year, literally every farm animal in this country is going to have a chip in it so it can be tracked. And why in heaven's name is the federal government doing that? Or are they preparing us for every person's going to be chipped?
Well, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, you know, but what I see is that there is a close tie between government policy for emergency management. For example, in Oregon, the Oregon State Police Chiefs Association, each state has their own police chiefs organization or sheriff's association. In Oregon, their emergency plan calls for, and I'm talking about, for example, an epidemic or a pandemic, a flu pandemic, calls for the animals, for example, farm animals, pets, to be confiscated, and they will necessarily have to have chips in these pets in order, supposedly, to keep tabs on them. Now, there are a lot of people that are wondering, why do you bother collecting animals from people based on, for example, a flu epidemic? So there's a lot of suspicion happening right now. And, you know, again, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but what I see is that there is a connection between the federal government and some state governments in devising their emergency plans, especially for healthcare emergencies or medical emergencies. And these chips that they want to implant in animals and in human beings. You know, once you keep track of people and you can keep track of animals, it's much easier to confiscate them. You know, and that should worry a lot of Americans. Why are we spending all this money? Because that we are talking billions of dollars, so that we can monitor farm animals. It just doesn't make sense.
And of course, it is not going to be all the money put out by the government. It's going to be the cost of the people who have their small farms. Now, if you're a Tyson's, you're a great big a chicken grower, whether you have 100,000 chickens that are hatched out all in the same day, why, then, of course, you can just have some sort of a certificate. But if you are a small farmer with 100 chickens, they're all going to have a band on them because they all were born on a different day. And they want to know everything when they were born, you know, their progress. They want to know about where they are moved from one area to another when they're sold. There is no way that the small farmer can afford to do this. And so what they're basically going to do is attack our farmers and make their job so difficult that the farmers are going to quit growing their products and their cows and their geese and their chickens, and they're going to have to have a horse chipped. And if it's moved from one field to another, it'll become a federal crime if you don't report it. Now, this is madness, but there is always unintended consequences whenever you pass a federal law. First of all, the federal government has no right to be monitoring farm animals. That would be something at the state level. But there always are those people who want to regulate and control everything. And until they have everything controlled and everything has been destroyed, we know that command control doesn't work. It didn't work in the Soviet Union. It didn't work in Benito Mussolini's Italy. That didn't work in communist China. So why are they trying to introduce it here? It just doesn't make any sense, Jim.
No, it doesn't make any sense. And you're right. These are people who have a political agenda who are pushing basically their asinine programs. If you look at, for example, the Oregon Emergency Management Plan for dealing with health emergencies, such as the plans that they have for dealing with the so-called bird flu epidemic, if it should come to the United States. So far it hasn't, but we've already got all these plans written, and part of it is the monitoring of livestock. Part of it is monitoring human beings. You know, they come up with these rationales based on a threat that right now I don't see any evidence that the bird flu is even coming close to the United States. And you touched on it before, Doctor, and I thought you made an excellent point. Meanwhile, our borders are open. And I've been reading research papers that show the number of people coming into this country with diseases that we thought we had licked a long time ago. Tuberculosis, for example, polio, and other diseases that we thought were done away with in this country are now returning. There's an epidemic in New York City, the New York City metropolitan area, of tuberculosis in the prison system, in the healthcare system. We're finding patients that are going into emergency rooms for other conditions, and we're finding out that they also have tuberculosis. And, you know, this is coming right over the border. No one's stopping it.
And first, we had pretty well done away with leprosy in this country, but of course people are coming in with leprosy and then, of course, circulating across our country with this disease. It's hard to get, but if you get it, why, your life is never the same again. And we're not trying to guard our borders. It should be obvious. If they were really worried about terrorism and the threat of terrorism, the first thing they would do would be to guard our borders. They absolutely refuse to, and we have to ask why, and I think the answer should be pretty evident. They don't believe what they tell us. They don't believe there's a threat of terrorism, but they've got to convince us there is, because if there's a threat of terrorism, then they've got to be able to take away our freedom. And I share your concern about some of these programs. Immediately after 9-1-1, something called the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act, that's MEPAM, the Model Emergency Health Powers Act, was actually passed in a number of our states that would allow compulsory vaccination. Do you really want them to be able to inject your body with You don't even know what's in there. And if you doubt that they could put things terrible into your body, you should go back and find out how they contaminated. Most of the population with cancer virus, when they were giving the polio vaccination back in the late 1940s and early 1950s, and there's a book out there called The Virus and the Vaccine. They're never going to tell the American people that. Why we wouldn't trust them. But they did that, and if they would put the polio virus, they would put a cancer virus into the polio vaccine, can we really trust them to put things into our vaccines or not to put things in the vaccine? We know that they've put contraceptives in the vaccines in the Philippines and in Kenya, places all across the world, in the tetanus vaccine. Why? Because there are too many people in the world, and what a wonderful way to disseminate, you know, toxins that will stop pregnancy than to put it in the vaccines and give it to poor women, telling them you're from the World Health Organization, you're from the United States, and you're there because you want to help them and make sure they don't get a tetanus toxoid, but we don't tell them that there's a chorionotatropin. And well, in the legislation, the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act, they've actually included places with compulsory vaccination where they can actually take your home and your car and your food and put you into a concentration camp. And if you doubt it, we've got copies of the program that was originally laid out. And now we find they want to inject all of us with RFID chips. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Our guest is Jim Curry. Are you concerned about this? Do you think there might occasionally be a wicked person in America who would like to take away our freedom, who believes in the all-powerful state? Well, Jim, what sort of response did you get to that wonderful article you wrote in newswithviews.com about the danger of RFID chipping? Did you get much of a response to it?
Oh, yeah, I did, especially from healthcare professionals, believe it or not. People, doctors, physicians. One person who was a physician in California wrote a tremendous email to me expressing her concerns about something you brought up. I didn't bring it up, but it's part and parcel of what we're discussing. You know, the mandatory vaccines. California is one of those places where they want to make it mandatory that parents cannot make the decision themselves. If you look at what they did in Massachusetts, this was recently, and then they pulled back because of the outcry by parents. They were making it a criminal violation if a parent would not allow their child to be vaccinated. Now, supposedly this is for the benefit of the child, but I think that, once again, you have the state trying to take control of how we bring up our children. You know, we should be the ones to make the decision whether our child is vaccinated or not. Not some bureaucrat, not some teacher, not some principal. And so we're seeing this all across the country, and there are many people within the healthcare profession, doctors, nurses, physical therapists, who are against what they're seeing being done in the name of healthcare.
And I think you're absolutely right. Of course, they've always said why vaccines have been proven to be safe and effective. And I would simply point out, if they're really safe, then why have we had an epidemic of juvenile diabetes since we started giving vaccines to our children? Why is one in every six American children have a neurodevelopmental abnormality if vaccines are safe and effective? I mean, why do we have so much autoimmune disease and so much more asthma in the United States?
Yes.
And one in every six children has asthma or some related respiratory disease. You don't see this in other countries. You don't see it in the Amish and Mennonite children that don't take the vaccines. Where is the proof that they are completely safe, that there are no deleterious effects from it?
There is no proof. What they're saying is, trust us.
Right. And
the government is saying, trust us. Now, unfortunately, our government has a history of being deceptive. If you remember during nuclear tests, how they marched soldiers out into the desert in Nevada, to set off nuclear devices to see what effects it would have on the soldiers. Now, they wouldn't tell the soldiers that's what they were doing. You know, in other words, they're telling us that we have to trust them. And I have a problem with that. As an American citizen, I have a problem with that.
And I think that this is one of the things that has been forgotten about by so many people. And that is what our founding fathers knew, and that is that men are basically sinful. So why would you want to give sinful men power over the lives of other people? That is why America was formed as it was. Unique in the history of all nations, because in America, the power of the central authority was limited by the chains of the Constitution. As Thomas Jefferson said, in matters of politics, speak not to me of confidence in men, but bind them down from mischief with the chains of the Constitution. And that message has been forgotten, and they've taken the chains off the politicians and the bureaucrats, and they're forging them out for the people. We'll be right back here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Jim was just saying that he is concerned about the fact that we're giving all this power to people in government. And you know, at one time, the American people did not trust the government. Why? Why, very simply, because our founding fathers didn't trust government, and it was their thesis that men were sinful. Why give sinful men power over other people? Do they suddenly become altruistic once they become a bureaucrat or a politician? And of course, there's no reason to believe that they would. But we have forgotten the lessons that have been learned from the past, the lessons that the German people learned. To their sadness there, you know, by 1945, they realized that when they gave the power to the Nazis, why, of course, they lost their freedom. And people have forgotten that it was the American CIA that brought the Nazi criminal scientists to America under Operation Paperclip, and the 10,000 Nazis sent them to South America, got them down there. Of course, MI5, MI6, and the CIA, and certainly a group within one of the groups within the Vatican, actually transported the Nazis, 10,000 of the violent war criminals, Martin Bormann, Dr. Mengele, Klaus Barbie, certainly Adolf Eichmann. They were all taken to South America. They were aided and set up down there by the American CIA. Well, if our government would do that and help us protect the Nazis, even protect them from the Jewish people who were out trying to search them and track them down, and the CIA knew where the Nazis were, but they wouldn't tell the Jewish people at the Wiesenthal Institute where they were. Can we really trust those people with our future today, where they could forcibly vaccinate us and put chips into us and keep dossiers on every American citizen? Well, are people concerned about this idea of tracking American citizens, Jim?
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of Americans, as the more they find out, thank God for the Internet, because there is a lot of information on there that usually American citizens were denied because of the big media being controlled by large corporations. All of a sudden now, reports, and I'm talking about actual government reports, different websites are available for access by American citizens. And the more they read, the more distrustful they're becoming of government. You look at the presidential race that's occurring right now. My take is that we are seeing a lot of cynicism when people hear these politicians making promises, because we've all heard it before. We've all heard it before. And, these people, they, for example, you mentioned God before. You mentioned the religion. These people use that as a prop. And, it's a very cynical. Yeah, we're talking about very cynical people that think that they are able to pull the wool over all Americans' eyes. Now, many people are easy to fool, but most Americans now, I believe, are capable of deciphering exactly what these people believe and what they plan for the American people, for this country. It's a sad commentary right now that so much is occurring so swiftly in this country.
Well, I think that, Chris, you're absolutely right. But we do have the alternative radio. And, of course, we have people like myself and others. Our good friend Alex Jones, Joyce Riley, Jack Blood. There's so many of the people I can think of. Jeff Rentz are out there bringing information, the real information, to the American people. And then we have the Internet, as you pointed out, and anybody who wants to check out the story of bringing the Nazi scientists, the brutal Nazi criminals to America and giving them soft jobs in our space industry and in research. It's Operation Paperclip. That's Operation Paperclip. Or the Nazis to South America, and that's the RAT line, R-A-T. Go up on Google. Google it in. Could it really be true? Could these things have happened and the average American doesn't know? Well, we do have the Internet. You can look it up there and you can check it out, and not everything on the Internet is accurate. The other side is putting distortions up there, but you're also going to find the truth. And you owe it to yourself, to posterity, to the people who've given their lives in the past to give us this wonderful country, to find out if it's really true, and if it is, then to help us get the information out, just as Jim Corey is doing. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Give us a call if you agree, if you disagree. What do you think about mandatory RFID chips for every child in the nursery? Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Jim Corey from COPS Magazine. And Jim, we were just talking about RFID chips and how convenient all these arguments are. I mean, after all, would you really want to have a newborn child and get the wrong child in the nursery? Well, the solution, obviously, is to chip every child in the nursery, and that way that you're not going to get the wrong child. They're not going to mix up your child with somebody else. And the same thing would be true with people with Alzheimer's disease. If we could just chip everybody with Alzheimer's disease, and that way when they got lost and they're wandering around on the streets, why, we could scan their chip and would know who they were. We could get them back home. And they're doing this, of course, with animals. And, of course, many of your veterinarians are chipping animals. And they can give you all sorts of wonderful stories how chipping animals will get them back into their back to their owners. In fact, I saw a program recently where somebody who had actually lost a dog in Katrina was recently reunited with that dog because of the chip, and how happy the dog was, and he was licking the face on his master, and the master was happy, and the dog was happy, and it was all the chip. And all of this, in my estimation, is propaganda. See, convince the American people that wouldn't it be wonderful if we were all chipped, and that way we'd know who all the dogs were and who all the masters were. Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, Jim, how clever the people are who control the media, convince us this is really for good, and yet I believe it's for evil. What are your thoughts?
Oh, sure. Even entertainment shows will put this into their script. You know, the shows like Law and Order and the CSIs, one of the CSI series, and you know, you see it, and it is propaganda. It is. There's no other word for it. And the fact that they will try to show the benefits of these chips, but again, and you mentioned it, and most people who are discriminating in as far as policy, they examine something and they look for unintended consequences. And even though the chip may sound beneficial to Americans, there are unintended consequences. And I'll give you a perfect example, which a lot of Americans aren't even aware of. If you go to some of the bridges that we have now, with the Easy Pass. For example, the New York metropolitan area, all the bridges have Easy Pass.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Jim Corey. Well, this is Dr. Stam. I guess is Jim Corey, and of course he works for Cops Magazine, and but he's here as an individual talking about the propaganda that's being used on the American people to get us to go along with the idea that there's nothing wrong with shipping. It's great. It's wonderful. We have all these advantages now that if they just have our electronic number. And he was just talking about the fact that most of the bridges in New York have something called an Easy Pass. Would you like to tell our listeners what the Easy Pass is, Jim?
Okay, well, New York and other localities all across the country have what's known as the Easy Pass. These are machines that are able to read either a card usually they're like computer cards. They're what word am I using? The credit cards. They look like, a lot of them look like credit cards. And basically, what you do is you drive through the machine reads the card and allows you through the bridge or tunnel. Supposedly it's faster, and you know, you save time and not having to give money to the toll taker. And one of the unintended consequences is there's a record of you going through the bridge at what time. It has all the information about you, personal information about you, on record because you purchased this card. It has your name, address, telephone number, social security number, and other pedigree. So that the government basically, if they want to find out where did you go at a certain time, they're able to check these machines and tell whether you went from one borough to the next, if you went from Manhattan to Queens or Brooklyn, or if you went from the Bronx into Manhattan. So they're able to do that, and they have used it now in criminal trials. And judges have ruled that it's perfectly okay for them to do that. Now, that's an unintended consequence, the fact that they're able to tell what borough I'm visiting.
But, of course, the thing is, people are going to say, well, what's wrong with that? As long as I'm not a criminal, I have nothing to worry about. But they don't understand that this can be used against enemies of the state, people who disagree with the policies, people who disagree with the war in Iraq, people who believe that there is an elite that runs this government and certainly doesn't allow us freedom and intends to impose a dictatorship on the American people and has a program for mass extermination and population control. It doesn't matter what people say, well, that's all crazy talk, those things couldn't happen, but certainly we've seen in other countries where people have been enemies of the state, and they can be effectively tracked. Why are they putting video cameras on our streets and in our stores and in the hallways at our schools and in our schools? And almost every place in this country there are video cameras. In Great Britain today, the average individual is videoed 300 times. They have hundreds of thousands of videos in Great Britain, and we're moving rapidly towards this. Always, of course, in the name of fighting the wicked Osama bin Laden, who's hiding in a cave over in Pakistan, who wants to take away our freedom. But, of course, the difficulty is, now we find out the FBI has $1 billion, and they're putting in this into a recognition database. And so they can recognize your face, even if you're disguised. They can recognize your gait. Now, how would they know what you look like? Well, they went out and they bought up the pictures from all of the departments of motor vehicles all across the country, and they lied to everybody about what they were doing, claiming they were a private corporation, whereas they were really the Secret Service, getting your picture, and they have your picture now. And then, of course, they're going to get information on how you walk, and they can actually determine how you walk and identify you that way. All sorts of characteristics, and they're building up a database on all of our citizens in the name of protecting us from Osama bin Laden. And I'm worried about that. How about you, Jim?
Oh, I'm definitely worried about that. And I work in law enforcement.
Right.
Just because we work in law enforcement doesn't mean we're gonna be exempt from having this technology used on us. There's a potential for abuse against cops by people who want to control the police, who want to make sure that the police will carry out their instructions, even if the police find them to be unlawful. Cops are not supposed to commit crimes, and we're not supposed to be ordered to commit crimes. But using this technology, it's very distressing, which is why one of the reasons why I've been covering this story. You know, I'm not a medical professional, I'm not a healthcare professional, but this particular story really troubles me. It troubles a lot of people I've spoken to about it. It troubles the people at newswithviews.com. And like I said, I get letter. I'm still getting email from people who have read the article, especially healthcare professionals, nurses, doctors, physical therapists, people who work at hospitals, and they're concerned about it too. That a potential for abuse exists, and they understand that potential for abuse.
And of course, the article that we're talking about is the article that Jim Curry wrote for newswithviews.com. That's www.newswithviews.com, and you can go up there and certainly you can find his article. And are you listed over there on the left side there?
Yeah, I am.
Sure. All right, fine. So Jim is a regular writer there, and I think you'll be fascinated by what he's written on this subject. And we're talking about the use of RFID technology. Supposedly, oh, it's going to be so good for us, but it's really a matter of tracking packages. It's a matter of tracking merchandise. It's a means of tracking animals. It's a means of tracking individuals. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. We have Marcella calling from Salinas. Marcella, do you have a question or comment?
A bit of both. I just wanted to find out your guest impression of what happened last month, November, in St. George County, Maryland, where thousands of kids were forced to get some of them up to 17 vaccines, and there were cops there and police dogs there corralling them into the building. And has anybody in the media written about this?
I'm not even aware of that. I know that you said
I wrote about it. There's an article in newswithviews.com. I wrote about that, I think, 2 weeks ago.
All right, there you are, Marcella. Do you have access to the Internet?
Yes, I do.
All right, fine. Well, you go to newswithviews.com, and then, of course, you can scroll down on the left side to Jim Curry, K-O-U-R-I. Jim Curry's name, and then, of course, pull the article down. But I share your concern. I think they're going to see how much the American people will take, and they may not put anything bad in the initial vaccines, but if they have ever put anything intentionally into the vaccines to harm people, then we can never trust them. And we know that they put the contraceptives into the vaccines in both Kenya and in Mexico and in the Philippines, because I've talked to the doctors in those areas. We know that they put a cancer virus into the polio vaccine that's covered in a book called The Virus and the Vaccine. And, of course, we know that the harm from the aluminum and from the mercury in the vaccines. And they keep telling people to take the influenza vaccine, and there's no evidence it helps. And there's all sorts of evidence. It dramatically increases the incidence of Alzheimer's disease. But then if you believe there are too many people in the world and they might as well die with Alzheimer's disease, why, you wouldn't see anything wrong with that. There really are evil and wicked people. And if anybody wants to check what I'm saying, the relationship of Alzheimer's disease and the influenza vaccine, Dr. Fudenberg's article is excellent. Okay. Did you have anything else, Marcella?
Well, speaking of the influenza flu shot, I just read on the Internet that New Jersey is the first state that are mandating two influenza flu shots.
Oh, boy, I think they ought to get rid of their legislature in New Jersey. I hope they do.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
God bless you, and thank you so much for calling, Marcel. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-800-464-8295, and we're talking really about RFID chips and how, of course, they're being forced under the farms. Certainly, the veterinarians are being encouraged to put them in your pets. But, of course, what the real objective is to eventually sell the American people that how wonderful and convenient it's going to be. They'll know exactly who we are. Once we go into the emergency room and we're unconscious and we can't tell people anything, but all they'll have to do is scan us, and then they can go to the natural database. They'll know everything about us. Isn't that wonderful? Well, you know, certainly what you're saying, Jim, is that what you're finding as a result of your articles is that even many people within the medical profession are concerned about the implications. Is that correct?
Exactly. You know, most of these situations, most of these programs are based on trust us. The government is telling us to trust them. You gave a perfect scenario. You go into an emergency room. You're unconscious. You have this chip inside of you. And you basically are at the mercy of whomever is taking care of you in that hospital setting, in that emergency room. You're counting on those people being benevolent, you know. And one thing we have to learn is that human beings are not always benevolent. I think that's the difference between a conservative and a liberal. Conservatives understand that man is basically evil. Man, unfortunately, is capable of a lot of evil. Liberals seem to think that because the government is doing it, it must be good. And that's wrong-headed. That is very wrong-headed.
Amen to that. And, of course, we always find out about these nurses who've actually gone around killing people intentionally. Now, most doctors, most nurses are going to do everything they can to be helpful, but you always want to be on the lookout because you never know when there could be somebody who has a different agenda. And unfortunately, we find that the people who are usually the most malevolent are those who are put in the key positions in government bureaucracies. And we see this with the EPA. We see this with the FDA. We see this with the NIH. We see this with bureaucracy after bureaucracy, with the average person who works there is very concerned about the public health. But the people at the top, well, their services are up to the highest bidder, or they have a different agenda. And that's certainly very, very apparent if anybody doubts the fact that the doctors, the scientists, the bureaucrats, the lawyers who work for the Environmental Protection Agency believe that we are being poisoned by water fluoridation. You can go to their website. They have a website, www.nteu280.org, nteu280.org. Read what the scientists who work for the EPA say about water fluoridation, and then, of course, write to the EPA and see what the bureaucrats in charge say about it. And it's like two diametrically opposed positions, because there really are people who want to poison the American public with water fluoridation. But anyway, RFID chips, of course, more and more pressure being put on to get us to take RFID chips. Right now, of course, it's voluntary. And do you know whether they've actually been able to get these into any people at all? Have any of the children have it? Have any of the Alzheimer's patients had it yet?
They had started inserting them in Alzheimer's patients.
All right, fine.
In nursing homes. In other words, if the patient leaves the nursing home, and I remember when I was a cop in New York, we had a lot of calls from nursing homes when a patient was missing, and we'd have to search. You know, usually we found them on the subway or 42nd Street or somewhere, but we usually found them without these chips. And that's probably one of the selling points down in Florida, because they do have a large population of elderly there. And last I heard, they were going to go ahead and do these RFID chips Alzheimer's patients.
I think people have to understand that the RFID chip cannot be read by a satellite, so you're going to have to get up very close to scan the people. Certainly, they do have certainly ankle bracelets they can put on people, and they can be actually tracked by satellite.
Yeah.
And, of course, down the line, of course, I'm sure that there'll be more and more technology, that they'll be able to get smaller and smaller things, and perhaps very, very soon that they will be able actually to track, not necessarily RFID, but other types of tracking devices to inject. Do you know anything at all about any of the other tracking devices other than RFID that they can track by satellite?
No, I know that they do have these chips, for example, global positioning systems, that they are capable of inserting a chip that provides right now they're using that on cell phones and vehicles, motor vehicles, but it's not unheard of that they could actually insert a chip into a human being in order to use the global positioning system.
And, of course, we've even heard it said that certainly in South America, where people are often kidnapped for profit, very wealthy people, certainly some of these people have already had the chips put in them, so that if they are kidnapped, that they can be tracked. Whether that's true or not, I certainly don't know. But you can see the rationale for this, but that may not have anything to do with the real reason they want to get chips into everybody, because I believe there really are people who want to track each and every one of us from the cradle to the grave. Well, our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And a lot of people will say, well, but this is never going to affect me. I'm a law-abiding citizen. What do you say to those people, Jim?
Oh, listen, it is something that Americans really have to wake up and take notice of. I think police officers, I'm trying to reach more and more of my colleagues about this. We are faced with a situation where the technology is now available to do stuff that at one time was considered science fiction. And 1984, I always think of that book and the motion pictures that came of that book. And we have the technology to put that in place right now. You mentioned before about the closed circuit television. I work in law enforcement. I believe in closed circuit television, but not to the extent that I'm seeing it now, where it doesn't matter where you go, you're on some camera, whether it's in a building, outside, in the subway, you're being recorded.
And I think people have to understand this can be used for good or for evil. Is man good or evil? If he's evil, do you really want to trust him with that information? Do you want him to be able to track you from the cradle to the grave? We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Jim Corey. We have 3 minutes to wrap up the program, and I really believe this is such an important issue because most Americans find it literally impossible to believe that anyone would want to take away their freedom, and yet, if you study history, this has happened in every civilization. And we enjoyed freedom in this country because of our Constitution. The tragedy is that they are not abiding by our Constitution. And we have people back in Washington, D.C. In fact, the vast majority of our senators and our congressmen have sworn an oath to God to uphold the Constitution. And no sooner do they swear that oath than they've turned right around and they violated that Constitution and voted for all sorts of legislation that is unconstitutional. How are we going to get back to the fundamentals, Jim, and limit the power of government over our lives so we can be free?
Well, I think, first of all, Americans have to have a healthy distrust of power. We have to realize that, and I'm not talking about political party or... But we have to realize that there are individuals who care about power first and foremost. And they will do and say anything to get elected, and once they're in their position, it's another story. They will always have a beneficial reason for doing something, that may have nothing to do with their hidden agenda. These are people with a hidden agenda. And part of it is being able to track Americans, especially those Americans who are outspoken and independent and do not believe that government has the right to rule us without our permission.
Well, I agree with you totally, and I think it's so vitally important that you sound the alarm to the people that you're in touch with, specifically to the police officers, because we need good police officers who will defend our freedom and who believe in our constitutional system, who believe in the Bill of Rights, which says a man has a right, of course, to privacy. And, of course, when you start putting chips into him, he loses his privacy. He also has a right to keep and bear arms. That's the Second Amendment. And, unfortunately, there's a lot of very clever and convincing propaganda out there that is anti-gun and anti-privacy, but, of course, it will eventually lead to the loss of all freedom. So we need to get back to the Constitution. Jim Corey, thank you so very much for being with us and for taking the time to be with us again this afternoon.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
God bless and bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, fine. Well, our guest has been Jim Corey. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly we think this is a very, very important issue. We carry a book called Spy Chips. It's written by Catherine Albrecht and Liz McIntyre. That's Spy Chips. We recommend it to you. We'll have a four-taped set on the RFID chipping. It'll be available in a week, and it'll include this interview and other interviews. And what we want you to do, of course, is get this information to other people. Now, to put things into proper perspective, you really need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which goes into the spiritual forces behind this movement to remove our freedom. And there really is a plan to use America's wealth and America's financial power to bring about a world dictatorship, a one world religion, and a new world leader. If you'd like to, of course, document some of the things we were saying about the CIA and helping the Nazis, we have a four-tape set called Operation Paperclip. Operation Paperclip, a couple of interviews there with the author of Secret Agenda, which is the classic story on Operation Paperclip, and we go into the background of the rat line where all these Nazis were helped to escape to South America by the CIA and MI6. How could that be? Well, you can go up on the internet and look it up, and we hope you want to get our four-tape set on Operation Paperclip, because Radio Liberty has information you are just not going to get elsewhere. We have a great four-tape set called Satanic Crimes, and we have a book by the same title. That book is by William H. Kennedy, and we recommend that to you. And then, of course, we have a book entitled The Beautiful Side of Evil, and that goes with a four-tape set called The Supernatural, because it involves a woman, her name is Johanna Michelson, one of our favorite guests, who is a medium. And, of course, she had supernatural power. And, of course, she was being trained to become a psychic healer, where she would be able to cure people simply by delving into these supernatural powers. And she witnessed over 400 supernatural events where people who'd been given up by conventional doctors were cured by this psychic healer, only to realize eventually this was demonic, and there were demonic forces, and all of the people who were cured now were under demonic control. Amazing material. You're not going to get this elsewhere. It's available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You see, we're really involved in a spiritual battle that's being played out on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. And the ultimate goal will be a dictatorship in America, a dictatorship in the world, under the control of organized evil in the form of people. You have to understand that they utilize people. This is what energized the Nazi movement. but most people don't know that the Nazi movement was financed from the United States from its inception. And that's why you need to get the book Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. That's Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. And although the man who wrote the book, my friend Professor Anthony Sutton, didn't understand the spiritual implications, you will find out how American corporations were funding Adolf Hitler before and during the war. And then the Second World War, I certainly will want to get there's another book we don't carry, it's called Trading with the Enemy, but it goes into how American corporations were actually supplying the diesel oil for the submarines, German submarines, that were attacking American troop ships and killing Americans during the war. Had we not helped Adolf Hitler, why Adolf Hitler never could have had the military that he did, and certainly the war would have ended in 1943. I personally talked, well, that's another story, but the war could have ended in 43 had not Winston Churchill blocked that. Please understand what's going on. We are really in a battle against organized evil. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Until Monday, may the Lord be with you.